Let me begin by sharing another piece of scripture that's a little bit later in Matthew's gospel. Now, it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you? Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he knew it was out of self-interest that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message: "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." The chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "What will I do with Jesus who is called the Christ?" Pilate spoke those words, but it is the ultimate question that each of us must ask. That's the challenge of worship on this Sunday we either call Palm Sunday or Passion Sunday. Somehow I always hope that this service will force every person present to ask ourselves, "What am I going to do about Jesus?" Now, this is difficult because most of us, if we dare to be honest with ourselves, we have messy spiritual lives. Now, Messy Spirituality is the title of a book written by Mike Yaconalin. And he has a way of confronting us with the truth about ourselves, which is something that Jesus did quite frequently. You see, what landed Jesus on a cross was the outlandish idea that common, ordinary, broken, screwed-up people like us could be godly. What drove Jesus' enemies crazy were his criticisms of the perfect religious people and his acceptance of the imperfect non-religious people. The shocking implication of Jesus' ministry is that anyone can be spiritual, anyone can grow close to God. Now, if there's one thing that Christians in churches can't stand, it's people who are not afraid of their messiness. Suppose someone stood up in this church some morning, right in the middle of our worship service, and said out loud, "My life is a mess. I just got divorced, I'm still hungover from last night, and I don't know what to do." What would you do? By the way, it's happened to me more than once in my ministry. I bet some people were thinking, "What is this person doing? This church is for decent people who act correctly." But is it? The Bible throws us some pretty tough curves to handle. Take Noah, for example. Everyone thought Noah was crazy. I mean, he was building an ark, a big, clumsy old boat right out in the middle of the desert. And people asked him, "Why?" "Because God told me it's going to rain," was his answer. And it did rain. And Noah was so proud and so happy that he decided to celebrate. And old Noah got drunk and naked. Old Noah. Good old spiritual Noah. You see, people, God uses people right in the midst of all that messiness of life. If we look at the Hebrew Scriptures, we don't have to go far to find people with really messy lives. There's King David, whose messy life included adultery and being an accomplice to murder. For Rahab, it was prostitution, and the list could go on and on and on. So, we should probably go to the New Testament and to Jesus. You're ahead of me. It's really the same in the New Testament, isn't it? 12 disciples who never quite got it. One of them betrayed Jesus, and another denied he'd ever known him. Jesus healed sinners and foreigners. He didn't ask them if they were believers or if they went to church. He was a guy who was roundly criticized for eating with the prostitutes and eating with the tax collectors and the sinners. People who would never be allowed in the lovely, clean houses of worship of the Pharisees. So he came into Jerusalem in a small, ragtag band of people, whom I'm sure the populace thought were nuts, were all waving palm branches, and they threw their clothes on the ground. And all Jesus did was weep. He wept over a city that had missed the whole point of life with God. So the Pharisees decided they really had to do something. Either Jesus would ruin their spiritual neatness and upset their precious list of rules of what it means to be a follower of God, or they'd have to get rid of him. And that's exactly what they did. They killed him. Those good, righteous people killed him. They nailed him onto a cross. If there's one thing that we have to grasp, it's that. Right in the midst of all this messiness, Jesus is with us. When we're not sure about much of anything, God is there. And that very fact bothers religious folks most of all. I mean, look at the churches of our day and age. If they're effective, who is present? Maybe there's a young woman who's too proud to admit that her marriage is a living hell. And she's trying to figure out, why is this happening to me? She needs to know that she's accepted and that God is with her, loving her just like he loves the rest of us. Maybe there's an elderly couple. A couple who are masking the fact that their life is tenuous at best. There's just barely enough money to get by and pay the bills, and it seems like health and mortality dominate their thoughts. So they're here too. And maybe there are some parents who are at their wit's end because their teenage kids are making their home life a battleground, and they don't know what to do. They're all messy lives seeking answers. And isn't that exactly who should be here? I think so, because it is people just like that whom Jesus loved. Right in the middle of their messiness, they found him, and they found out that he loved them warts and all. The religious authorities couldn't stand the fact that even as they sought to get rid of Jesus, he loved them. And he saw that they were wrong in their attempt to be right. And so it's Pilate, the governor of the territory, a political figure placed there by Rome, a man with the task of keeping the peace, who asks, "What am I to do with Jesus?" It wasn't the priests, it wasn't the Levites, not the proper churchgoers. They had already decided. They wanted no part of this Jesus who loved them in their messiness. They wanted a leader who lived by their rules. And so there on a hill outside the city wall, they hung him on a cross. Condemned by those nice, proper religious folks who didn't want their nice, neat, proper ways disturbed. That's why he was persecuted and crucified. And yet he continued to love them. just as he continues to love us with all of our imperfections. God knows that we are people of mixed emotions and inconsistent thoughts and actions. God knows that we hide behind our faith, that we love our religious ways more than we love God. God knows that we hate to admit that our spiritual lives are messy things. But Jesus loves people in their messiness. He ate with them, he talked with them, and he loved them. And bottom line, that's what this week is all about. That right in the middle of our shortcomings, right in our guilt, right in the center of all of our messy living, that's where God meets us. Just when we say, I can't seem to get it all together, God meets us and transforms us. Now, in the week ahead, there's nothing pretty about his persecution and his crucifixion. Except that one thing. When even then he said, Father, forgive them. And I guess that's what we need to listen for. We need to listen for that whisper to us. And I think you'll find it comes right in the midst of our messy lives. Listen for it. Amen.